We present a cautionary comedy by D.G. Compton. Always read the small print.
Must be the living room, Mr. Payton.
Sitting room, that's right. Shocking wallpaper.
I don't think it's so bad. Do you, Peter?
12 foot wide, I'd say. 12 by 1, 2, 3, 4.
The birds and the bulrushes were my uncle's idea, and the terrible blue ceiling. It was his flat, you see, until he died.
Oh, sad.
Merciful release, really. He left it to me and Junie. This was the room he died in, so they tell me. DTs, and I'm frankly not surprised.
21 and a half of my feet, and they're about 11 inches. So that makes 21 foot 6 less 11 and a half. Well, it makes a good big room.
And the dining alcove has a hatch through into the kitchen. Well planned, isn't it, Peter?
Personally, yeah. I hate hatches.
Oh?
Like being in prison and having your food pushed through a little hole at you. You wouldn't know, of course.
The wallpaper's quite nice, Mr. Payton. And we can easily paint over it if we find we can't get on with it.
Well, unless you have any objections, of course.
None at all, as long as you keep the old wreck holding together somehow or other for the next year or so. It's all in the agreement, repairs and maintenance clause.
Oh, my husband's a solicitor. He knows all about that sort of thing.
Oh, I'm always telling my wife how wonderful it is what the human mind can encompass.
Yes, indeed. Well, it seems a pleasant flat, Mr. Payton. And on the face of it, the rent you're asking is not unreasonable. However, the bedrooms...
Perhaps you better take a look at the bedrooms.
I was actually about to suggest that the ceiling...
Ceiling's all cracked to hell, but I asked the builder and he says it's not dangerous. Through here and across the hall. And mind the step down. You could break your neck on that easy.
Not a very good salesman, is he?
It'll be a new approach. The negative sell.
I wonder what he does. And what on earth his wife's like.
Spotty with beads.
There's a huge built-in cupboard thing here. Shelves, mirrors, drawers and so on.
I think he's secretly very proud of the whole outfit.
Coming, Mr. Payton. We were just admiring the hall. Some of these flats have such tiny, dark entrances.
Needs acres of carpet, of course. We sold off all my uncle's things. Needed every penny we could get and hardly made more than the auctioneer's commission. Well, that's it. Fitment in the main bedroom, sliding doors, fitted cupboard across the passage of the other bedroom, just about big enough to turn round in.
Oh, you need for a spare room, really.
Make guests too comfortable and they overstay their welcome.
Yes, yes. PowerPoints in all rooms, hot water by electricity. It'll ruin you, but at least it's no bother. Bathroom at the end. Well, while you're here, you better see everything.
It's the kitchen I'm really interested in, Mr. Payton.
Kitchen's not bad. So long here.
You go, Mary. I'll have a quick look at the bathroom.
Oh, it's just a bathroom. Bath, basin, smell of old soap.
Door at the end, you said.
Help yourself. Uh-huh. We've had to leave the kitchen liner, Mrs. Shaw. The old fool had it stuck down with one of those new plastic glues. We couldn't find a thing that would shift it. There's a point for the cooker and another for the refrigerator, deep freeze, dishwasher, washing machine, what have you.
I'm afraid we don't have any of those. My husband's a very junior partner. Only just joined the firm and very much on probation.
Oh, we're managing on a grant, Junior and me. I'm a medical student, research fellowship, studying the common cold.
Mr. Payton?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Payton, there's a...
What on earth's the matter, Peter?
There's someone having a bath, Mr. Payton.
Having a bath?
The time these birds take. She should have been out hours ago. I bet she was reading.
She did have a magazine.
You didn't say it was a woman, Peter.
Perhaps he wasn't sure.
I was only quickly in and out. She was in the water.
Oh.
I mean, right in the water.
Trust Junie to use every drop of hot there is. Actually, she's been having baths here whenever she could. The landlady at our present place is funny about baths. I think they're like going to church to her. Once when you're born, once when you're married, and once when you're laid out.
When your wife has a bath, Mr. Payton, I suppose she never locks the door.
What if she started drowning? Besides, we're both married men. We can look at these things sensibly.
There was nothing to look at. Just soapy water, I told you.
We did a good thing. Dropped her the hint that it's time she came out. These long hot baths debilitate the system, you know. Increase the pulse rate, localized sweating in the face and hands, force the lungs to labour in a heavily steam-laden atmosphere, deplete the blood...
If Mrs. Payton has been in the habit of coming here for baths, she's going to miss it when we move in.
She'll manage. We'll work something out. You are taking it, then?
It seems to be more or less what we've been looking for. As long as we can do a certain amount of redecoration. And as long as my husband can tie up the legal side satisfactorily.
The Poultry Keeper's Gazette.
What did you say?
The Poultry Keeper's Gazette.
Hmm?
She was reading it upside down.
You didn't miss much.
It's having a photographic memory that does it.
About the flat. If you've really made up your minds, I've got duplicates of the agreements here in my pocket. Perhaps you'd like to take your copy away with you, Mr. Shaw. Check it back at the office.
Peter is a solicitor, you know, Mr. Payton. He's fully qualified.
Good Lord, yes. Here, let me have a look. Yes, we're handling this sort of agreement all the time.
You'll just glance through it, Mr. Payton, then we can get it signed and everything settled right away.
Well, I expect your husband would rather go over it quietly back at his office, where he has books to refer to and so on. I'd hate him to agree to anything he hasn't studied properly.
Yes, Mary, it might be better if
Tenancy agreements are your special department, Peter. Is there really any need to go running back to old Moss and Wilkinson?
I'm confident enough, Mary. I only thought that perhaps you would prefer it if
All right, then, darling. You take the agreement away in a corner and look it through. I just want to have a womanly word with Mr. Peyton about the neighbours and when the dustbins are cleared, that sort of thing.
I'll find somewhere quiet then, so that I can concentrate.
You stay in here. Move those cups and things and you can spread it out on the draining board. Mm. We'll leave you and go through into the living room. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Peyton, about the dustbins.
We haven't ever lived here, so I wouldn't know. Julie's been over more often than I have. She may have noticed.
What may I have noticed?
Oh?
Dustmen, when they call.
A Wednesday's around lunchtime. Hello?
Hello?
Come on, Michael, introduce us. I'm Junie, his wife, you know. I'm sorry I wasn't here at first, but I've been having a bath. Lose all sense of time when I'm having a bath, I do.
Our name is Shaw.
He's nice, isn't he? A bit hopeless, but nice with it. Never thought I'd marry a man with a beard, not in 100 years.
Well, I suppose not.
Oh, I bet I'm all blotchy. That's what hot baths do for you. He's always saying I shouldn't. Well, from today, I'm going to take myself in hand again. Hairdresser, proper manicure, chiropodist. I'd even go to one of them Swedish masseuses. Why, a spare tire coming, see, all round here. Men always say they like you, roly-poly, but I'm not so sure. In comes some beanpole and they're all eyes. Men don't make passes at girls with fat...
This seems to be in order. Perfectly in order, I'd say. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Peter, this is Mrs. Peyton.
We've already met.
Have we? Oh, yes. Good morning, Mrs. Peyton.
Well, Mr. Shaw, if you're really certain that the agreement is all right, we might as well both sign, and that'll be that. If you're really satisfied, that is.
Perfectly satisfied. It all seems most reasonable.
Are they going to take it, Michael?
Oh, it looks like it. Mr. Shaw is a solicitor. He's just been checking through the agreement.
I'm glad you're taking it. If Michael says you're all right, then you must be.
I can assure you we'll be model tenants. There is the usual nuisance clause, but I'm sure you'll never have to invoke it.
Where are you living at the moment, Mrs. Peyton?
Diggs, near Michael's clinic. Ever so grubby. Rouse if you leave a few old things drying in the bathroom, you know the sort of place. I can't tell you how much we're looking forward to moving.
Well, my dear, I hope you manage it as soon as possible.
Don't you worry, Mrs. Shaw, we will. Just as soon as
yes,
you...
Yes, Junie. Shall we get the agreement signed, then, if there's nothing else you're not clear about?
Nothing at all. How about you, Mary?
I like the place. If you say the legal side's all right, then that's that.
Mary. What a pretty name. Can I call you that? I'm Junie. Now that everything's fixed, it seems daft to go on being all posh.
You're going to be our landlady. June, had you thought of that?
I don't feel like a landlady. Do I look like one?
Certainly not. Not that I know what landladies look like, of course. Well, now, I'll give you a quarter's rent in advance, Mr. Peyton, just to show good faith.
Oh, give it to Junie. She's the one who has to try to make ends meet. Here, lend me a pen and I'll sign the agreement.
Both copies mine, and then I'll do my bit, and it'll all be fixed. One cheque for a quarter's rent. Here you are, Junie.
Thank you, Peter. I can see we're going to get on like a house on fire.
Michael S. Peyton. There you are. That's both of them done.
I'm it.
Are you sure, Peter? It seems so final.
Of course I'm sure. Besides, it's only for 1 year with an option on the next two. We're not signing away our whole lives or anything. There we are. Peter Edgeworth MacDonald Shaw.
It makes me all creepy, just like the Magna Carta.
Here's your copy and here's the one I hang on to.
Now that it's all settled, I don't mind saying I think you're letting us have a real bargain, old man.
I'm glad you feel that way. Well, I must be off now. Very much obliged to you both. It's yours from midnight tonight. Be seeing you.
I can't come yet, Michael. I'm not even dressed properly and my hair's not dry.
I'm a working man, love. I've had half the morning off already and they'll be ringing from the lab to find out what's happened.
Well, we must be going too, Mr. Peyton, so perhaps you could share a taxi somewhere.
Well, it's very kind of you, Mrs.
Shaw. You can't all leave me. This trampy, echoey place and me all on my own. Tell you what, I've got cups and an electric kettle. We three could have some tea. Be all friendly. Oh, come on.
Well, we really ought...
I did warn the office not to expect me back till after lunch, Mary. I'm sure there are things we ought to be doing. Like measuring for curtains, for instance.
How domestic of you, Peter. Usually that sort of thing never enters his head.
Well, Junie will be helpful. There's all sorts of things she can tell you. I should stay here and make yourselves at home. It's very nearly already your home anyway. Well, bye, Junie. Glad to have met you both.
Off you go then, lovey.
He seemed in a bit of a hurry.
He's got these people with colds, see? All in different stages. They wouldn't give just anybody the job. Beards and brains go together. That's why I married him. The mattress now, is it rubber or spring interior?
Mattress?
What mattress?
Well, you don't mind my asking, do you? The one you use for the spare room, of course.
It's a spring interior, I think. Yes, it's a spring interior.
Well, never mind. They are harder to turn, but I think they're more comfortable.
I imagine it's comfortable. We've never had any complaints from guests.
Oh, guests. Guests will put up with anything. They always remember they're lucky to have been asked in the first place. What a lovely flat this is. We got this letter, see, about hearing something to our advantage. So we went along. We'd never expected a penny from the old man. I still can't hardly believe it.
It's really a shame you couldn't keep it for yourself.
That's what I said. Michael says this way is much better. You see, his grant's a bit thin, poor lamb. On our own, we could hardly have managed the rates, even.
All the same, I'd have thought the rates would come to less than you're having to pay now for it.
Still, now we're all going to live together, it's just perfect.
I beg your pardon?
I said, as we're all going to live together, it'll be just perfect.
Live together? You mean you? And us? Live together? Here?
Oh, I see. You don't know. I'll go and put the kettle on and we can talk while it's boiling.
What is she talking about?
You leave this to me, Peter.
Mrs. Peyton, there's obviously one or two things we've got to get sorted out.
I was to ask one over with Michael last night, and he said, of course, any tenant would know what he was agreeing to. Myself, I wasn't so sure. It's a very unusual agreement, I said. Of course it's a very unusual agreement, he said.
Is it an unusual agreement, Peter?
Certainly not. There's a set form for these things. It's pretty well copied out, word for word.
I know it's an unusual agreement, he said. But, of course, anyone who signed it will take the trouble to know what they're signing. So I trusted him. And now, of course, you don't know, and it's up to me to tell you.
Of course I know. I went through that agreement clause by clause.
I asked Michael particularly if it was honest, and he said, of course, it was. Well, to be truthful, he didn't say exactly that. He said it was legal, and he said legal's better than honest any day.
What exactly are you getting round to telling us, Mrs. Payton?
Now he's gone off and left me this job, left me the dirty work. It isn't fair of him. He promised me you'd know all about it.
I've got the agreement here. Perhaps you can tell me what the hell all this is about.
The repairs and maintenance clause, number 6, I think, halfway down page 2.
The tenant in his part agrees to maintain and keep in a good state of repair all the said hereditament, its fittings, and their contents. Also
and
to...
And their contents?
I wondered about that. I decided it must mean the racks and drawers and that cupboard thing in the bedroom. It really didn't seem worth making an inventory of them. It'd be perfectly obvious if any was missing. I'd have inspected them and approved them. That seems sufficient.
I must say, I don't see anything wrong with that, Mrs. Peyton. What comes next, Peter?
Also to...
There's nothing wrong with it, only that he inspected me, too. And whether he's approved or not's beside the point.
I did not inspect you. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with it.
Kettle's boiling. Move over so I can make the tea. Let the dog see the rabbit.
My God! Don't you understand, Peter?
I'm afraid I don't. Give me a case entailed under semi-lapse medieval fiefment, and I'm an absolute wizard. But whether Mrs. Peyton was taking a bath or not seems to be totally irrelevant to the issue in question.
At the time of your inspection, Peter, Mrs. Peyton was the contents of one of the fittings.
I was in the bath!
You have signed an agreement, Peter, undertaking to maintain Mrs. Peyton and to keep her in a good state of repair.
She's in a good state of repair already.
And you'll have to keep her that way.
I told Michael nobody would agree to such a thing if they knew what they were doing. He said nobody'd sign such a thing without knowing what they were signing. He also said something about spiralling property values and this being the only way. But I did tell him, I did.
You do appear to have committed yourself, Pete. I mean, she was in the bath and you did see her.
Milk and sugar?
Both, please.
And you, Mary?
She doesn't take sugar.
I really do feel awful about everything, wishing myself onto you like this.
It's all right. It's not your fault.
I'd like to know whose fault it is, then.
It's Michael's.
It's Michael's. I mean, it's her husband's.
This flat isn't going to be as reasonable as you thought, Peter.
It won't be a nuisance. I'm not expensive. I don't eat much.
Not expensive? What about the hairdresser you were telling me about? The manicure, the chiropodist, the Swedish masseurs? Won't they come under the heading of repairs and maintenance?
Well, Michael says...
It's ridiculous. I won't do it. I just won't do it.
What if you simply tear up the agreement?
That's no use. He's still got his copy. He took it with him.
Well, there must be some way.
Tea's getting cold. Don't you want it? I always say nothing looks so gloomy after a nice cup of tea. That's what I always say.
Do you?
I'm not really so hard to get on with. I'm sure it won't be nearly so bad as you think. Michael says I'm the easiest person in the world to live with.
That's why he's getting rid of you onto us, I suppose.
What a horrid thing to say. It's a question of making ends meet, that's all. Anyway, he's not getting rid of me. If you can't think of anything but horrid things to say like that, I'm going to go and finish getting dressed. I think you're mean, and I hope the tea I made chokes you.
It was rather unkind, you know, Mary.
Whose side are you on, Peter? You get us into this fantastic mess, and then you turn on me. If you're trying
There's no use in us quarrelling, darling. We're both a bit het up. We must find a way of getting rid of her, that's all.
Ring the office. Have a word with old Mr. Moss. He's bound to have some ideas.
Tell him the mess I've landed myself in. The senior partner? You must be joking. Look, I'm supposed to be an experienced man. I'm in charge of the whole property department. If one word of all this gets to Mr. Moss, I'll be out on my ear. And it'd be what I deserve.
We'll have to pay her to live somewhere else. That's all.
Clause 9, Section 3. And the tenant, for his part, shall at no time remove or cause to be removed any of the said fittings or their contents from the premises without first obtaining permission in writing from the landlord.
He might give it. After all, he is her husband. He can't really want her to be sealed away in here. So if it's only a question of finance, then...
Wasn't that the front door? Perhaps he's come back for something. Now, Mary, this is a legal matter. There's nothing to be gained by being abusive.
Abusive, Peter? Now, honestly, my dear, when am I ever...
Good morning, Mr. Peyton. We're still here, you see.
Glad you stayed. I forgot my sandwiches. Junie's been putting you in the picture, I expect.
My dear fellow, why should she need to? I read the agreement. I would hardly be likely to sign something I didn't fully understand, would I?
I'm glad to hear it. Then you won't mind telling me when you intend to move in. I forgot to find out before I left.
I don't see why that should concern you.
Well, of course it does. I'll need to tell our present landlady we won't be needing the rooms, and I'll need to give you my notice in writing in plenty of time.
Which notice in writing are you referring to?
Forgive me, Mr. Peyton, but you won't both be vacating your present rooms, will you?
Well, I reckon it'd be silly to keep two places going.
I understand our liability concerning your wife, Mr. Peyton. There's an easy way around that, as I'm sure you realize. Regarding yourself, however, I fail to see...
Repairs and maintenance clause, section 2.
Section 2. Ah, here we are. Also, to allow the landlord, upon notice in writing, all reasonable access to the said hereditary...
The interesting point there, of course, is the legal interpretation of the words reasonable access. Exactly what is a man's reasonable access to his wife? In the absence of a prior ruling, I am prepared to make a stand on the hours of darkness, sunset to sunrise, more or less. We can take it to court, if you prefer.
It follows, you know, Mary. It's all perfectly reasonable. Quite a nice point, really.
Don't share your enthusiasm, Peter. Now, look here, Mr. Peyton. Do you really mean to say that you are planning to foist yourself onto us as a sort of permanent, non-paying lodger?
Well, certainly not. I shall bring my own bed. I shall pay for whatever food I eat, and I'll make a contribution to the electricity bill. All I ask is reasonable access.
That's good of you.
Not good, only legal. Look, I don't want to sound clever about all this. I'm sorry if it's come as a shock. It's all there in the agreement. I hope you don't think I've swindled you in any way.
Michael, you've come back. They've been being beastly to me.
You look very pretty, my love.
You said you'd be careful who you chose, and they've started being horrid already.
I have been careful. You'll find they're just right. The first few days are bound to be difficult, mutual adjustments and so on. They'll like you all right when they get to know you better.
Will they really?
Of course they will. No normal person could possibly go on not liking you.
You mean I'm likable?
That's it in a word, Junie. You're likable.
You'll forgive my interrupting, Mr. Peyton, but could I get things quite straight? You really mean that by the terms of this agreement, we have to maintain your wife, keep her in a good state of repair, and allow you nightly access to her?
Well, not every night. Well, sometimes my work at the clinic keeps me. I'm doing research, you know.
If you honestly think we'll agree, you must be madder than I thought you were. This isn't the only flat in London. We'll find somewhere else. Anywhere. We'll sleep in a bus shelter if needs be.
You'll do what you think best, of course.
He means we'll have to go on paying the rent here, whatever we do, and maintaining the fittings and their contents.
It's only for a year. There's an option on a further two, but I doubt if you'll be taking them up.
You're damn right we won't be taking that up.
I'd be grateful if you'd let us know your decision fairly soon. You see, if you're not moving in, then Junie and I'll have to get ourselves some furniture.
Every clause is perfect. Tight as a drum. It's a work of art, really. Quite beautiful.
I don't think your wife has quite your eye for beauty, Mr. Shaw.
I'll do my best. Let me have a thing, Peter.
Here you are, then. Now, look, old man, suppose we have another agreement. £3 a week more, and four even, and you take yourselves off.
You know the cost of living, Mr. Shaw. How could a student like myself possibly feed and clothe and house a wife like Junie for £4 a week? Look at her. You must see she deserves better than that.
But she's your wife, man. Are you really happy to have her looked after by just anybody?
I hate not being welcome, Michael. I think it's horrible.
Look at that. You've made her cry.
Oh, Lord, look, Mr. Peyton, it's not that we... Junie, honestly, we've nothing against you personally. It's just that, well, we want a home to ourselves. Anybody does.
Save your breath, Peter. I don't think they'll be staying after all.
She's the one who doesn't like me. I knew it from the word go.
Not staying, Mary. You mean you found something?
I know the clause she means, Mr. Shaw. It's the usual legal wording, but I'm confident that you'd be too much of a gentleman to take advantage of it.
You overestimate him, Mr. Peyton. Listen to this, Peter. And in return for compliance with the conditions herein laid out, the tenant shall have and enjoy the said hereditament, its fittings, and their contents for the period of the lease as agreed in Section 3.
I don't quite see.
The tenant, Peter.
That's me.
Shall have and enjoy.
Well?
The said hereditament, its fittings, and their contents.
That's her. Oh, but I couldn't, possibly.
Of course you couldn't. I understand completely. There are some things a man like you could never sink to.
He'll sink to them, all right. As a way of getting you two out, he'd sink to anything.
I couldn't, Mary. Honestly, I couldn't.
What's going on, Michael? What are you both looking at me like that for?
Never you mind, Junie, love. There are ugly things in life I hope you'll never need to know about.
Once and for all, Mary, I could no more adulterate Junie Peyton.
Oh!
Of course you couldn't, Mr. Shaw. So just tell us when you're moving in and we can make our arrangements. I've got a camp bed for myself. Takes up hardly any room at all.
There's your alternative, Peter. Do you still say you couldn't do it?
Certainly I do.
I wouldn't mind, Peter. Not in such a good cause.
Well, I would. Mind, I mean. Mm-hmm. No offence to you, Mrs. Peyton. Oh. But it's quite out of the question.
Darling Peter.
What the hell do you mean, darling Peter?
Nothing, really. I'll tell you about it later. But you know, we might have frightened them out if you hadn't been so transparent.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. You should have winked or kicked me or something.
Oh, moment of truth over now. Regarding the date on which you plan to take up occupancy, you do realize, of course, that your liability towards the fittings and their contents begins at midnight tonight.
To you, just the contents of a fitting.
Of course that's not all, Junie. You're...
Well, I don't like it, and I don't like pushing in when I'm not wanted either.
We've been over all this before, Junie. It's the only way. You don't want to have to go on putting up with digs all your life, do you? The drains and horrible old Mrs. Fraser and that dog on the floor below. And what about the baby?
Hey?
The baby. Do you want to have that in a couple of rented fifth floor rooms? Yeah. I mean, be reasonable, Junie. I'm doing the best I can for you.
Baby. Did you say baby?
She's a bit overwrought, Mr. Shaw. She shouldn't really have scenes like this.
Of course, legally, the baby was also the contents of one of the fittings.
The contents of the contents, really.
Look here, old man. You've got a quarter's rent in advance. What say you keep it? Come in very useful. Let us off the agreement and you keep it. You'll easily find other tenants, a couple with a child of their own, perhaps. To keep yours company when the time comes.
That's very generous of you, Mr. Shaw, but it's the suitability that counts besides. The flat's much too small for two children.
Losing us is going to put Mr. Peyton to quite a lot of bother, Peter. To make up for it, couldn't we possibly make it 6 months' rent in advance?
But I like you. I've got used to you already. I'm sure we're going to get on.
I'll make it a year in advance if you'll tear up the agreement.
For the baby's sake, Mr. Peyton. Think of the things you could get for it with a year's rent.
But there's still the repairs and maintenance to think of.
Oh, goodness me, you let this place again with no difficulty at all. Make out the check, Peter.
What do you think, Junie?
I think I'm going to be sick.
It's only nerves. It'll soon pass.
I hope you're right.
Well, here's your check. 9 months in advance. Now, if you just let me have your copy of the agreement. Thank you so much.
I'm still not sure I've done the right thing. What do you think, Junie?
I think...
Well, we'll just be on our way, then. It's been so nice meeting you both.
Getting on to lunchtime. Must be off now, really.
Must you really go?
Come along, darling. We've taken up more than enough of these good people's time already.
Goodbye, then. And mind the stairs as you go down. I wouldn't say the banister's all that reliable.
We'll be careful. Goodbye. And good luck with the baby.
Oh, yes. Good luck with the baby. Mary, I thought you'd be absolutely furious after all. We've got the shocking...
You are sweet, Peter. Don't you see us?
Well, that's that, then. I wish they were all solicitors. We'd save a lot of money if they didn't usually have to take the agreement away with them.
They were nicer than most, those two. Do you remember the couple that started throwing things?
Oh. Hey, the baby was a good idea. We'll keep it in as a clincher.
Honest, Michael, you're the cleverest person I know.
Well, they don't give medical research fellowships to fools. Now, I must get over to Shaw's Bank at once in case they think of stopping the check. And you see that the bath water's getting hot again, that there's plenty of soap, and that we've got two more copies of the agreement handy. Mm-hmm. Oh, and... get something other than the Poultry Keeper's Gazette to read. It nearly made the shawl suspicious.
When's the next lot arriving?
I told them 2 o'clock. You'll have to go very easy on lunch, or the hot bath afterwards will make you really sick.
2 hot baths in one day. This is the rich life, all right.
Well, I'll be off then. Need a rush to be back by 2. Another 6 deals like today's and we'll be able to furnish the place and move in.
I should hope so, too. I'm getting tired of living in that old clinic. And what if the chief finds out that I haven't really got a cold at all?
No need to worry about that, Junie. I can easily give you one.
In Always Read the Small Print by D.G. Compton, Peter and Mary Shaw were played by Brian Cox and Deborah Stanford, and Michael and June Payton by Colin Farrell and Anne Penfold. The producer was John Powell.